The Greater Washington Government Contractor Awards honor the leadership and innovation and commitment to excellence of the individuals and businesses in the region's government contracting sector. Rebecca Andino is founder and CEO of Highlight Technologies, one of the finalists in this year's GovCon Contractor of the Year Award in the up to $25 million category. Rebecca, congratulations, and thank you for joining me this morning. Tell me about what your company does for your contractors in the federal space. Thanks for coming on today, Rebecca.
Oh, thank you very much. So Highlight Technologies is an ISO 9001 CMMI Level 2 woman-owned 8A technology services firm. We provide enterprise IT architecture, knowledge management, SharePoint development, and cybersecurity support to about a dozen different federal agencies in both the DoD and civilian federal agencies.
So the cybersecurity space is, of course, very vibrant right now, and a lot of discussion about cybersecurity in the wake of the OPM cyber breach. We have a survey on federalnewsradio.com of chief information officers across government, and the takeaway from that survey is that they are seeing kind of a silver lining in the cloud of the OPM cyber breach, and that is that cybersecurity is finally on the minds of non-IT people in government. What kind of an opportunity do you think that presents both for IT people in government and for people in the industry space to be able to have discussions about cybersecurity with non-IT people in government?
Well, I think the leaders of each agency realize how important it is. Nobody wants to be the next big data breach. So even system owners that were traditionally hesitant to add additional security processes are welcoming it now. You know, they understand the importance of why certain policies might exist. And then a lot of agencies have things like shadow IT, where they allow different business groups to develop their own IT, small IT systems, and they can present security vulnerabilities too. So it's creating an opportunity for industry to have that conversation, and the customers are receptive to, you know, understanding what their risks are and how industry can help.
What's your sense of the impact that those conversations about shadow IT are having in the upper echelons of the agencies? That, again, that's another issue. It strikes me kind of like cyber that has been on the minds of IT people for a long time, but hasn't really made an impact on non-IT leaders.
Well, I think leadership understands that it does present a risk to the overall organization, and so they're willing to take another look at it and analyze it and then provide funds towards proper maintenance and management of those systems.
Do you expect to see industry present more, hardened solutions to help IT leaders and non-IT leaders alike understand where the shadow IT is in their systems and how to put in place systems to determine what all is there? I mean, in many cases, CIOs and CISOs don't even know everything that's on their systems when it comes to shadow IT.
I agree. Systems and solutions might be the end result, I think, first. Some consulting would have to happen. So I can see agencies issuing small contracts or allowing their current business process contracts to do those types of inventories to see what the staff are using and what systems do exist.
Rebecca Andino is founder and CEO of Highlight Technologies. Her company is a finalist in this year's GovCon Contractor of the Year Award in the up to $25 million category. Another area in which your company works is consolidating and modernizing legacy systems. And that topic is something that the federal CIO, Tony Scott, talks about every time he gets an opportunity to, because of how much of the federal government's IT budget goes to maintaining legacy systems. What do you think are the key elements for agencies and for the government as a whole to turn the corner and start to being able to devote more resources to actually bringing old systems up to current standards or to replacing them altogether?
Well, sometimes it's the vendors themselves create a natural forcing function by no longer continuing to support certain versions of software or hardware. So that creates a real need for the agencies to modernize because, you know, there will be security vulnerabilities that can't be easily fixed in the older versions. So sometimes that naturally happens. Sometimes there's new mission requirements, and then it's possibly difficult to find developers that code in an older language. So sometimes new mission requirements would also prompt system modernizations.
What's industry's role, do you think, Rebecca, in helping agencies perform parallel functions? And what I mean by that is pretty much every technology person I talk to in government, when we talk about the challenge of upgrading or refreshing or modernizing a legacy system, is, well, I have to keep doing that function at the same time that I'm changing out a system or I'm building something new. Is there a role that industry can play in helping helping agencies be able to essentially walk and chew gum at the same time?
Yeah, I've been involved in several transitions where you have to have parallel operations, and that's essential for a certain time period to make sure that both of the systems, or actually the new system, is putting out exactly the same data in the reports and providing the exact same functionality that you needed, that you used to get from the older system. And yeah, I think there's a definite role for industry because the agency cannot duplicate its labor force for a short period of time. So I'm sure it's helpful to have both additional mission staff come in and help, and then also to help to provide IVNV and business analysis and trainers to support that transition.
In the experience that you've had doing that, what are the 1, 2, 3, 4, however many critical steps up front that an agency should undertake, maybe it's even before they engage a vendor, in being able to make sure that they're able to get their parallel systems operating effectively in order to make a transition like that?
Well, they should make sure that they have a good project manager overseeing the steps, who's able to communicate what's going to happen to all parties. They should engage in some change management and training so that all people are informed of what will happen. And then finally, I would say, like, no system really exists in a vacuum. So there are going to be downstream and external stakeholders that they're going to have to work with so that all of those other stakeholders understand what is going to happen when.
Rebecca, that's great insight, and I thank you very much for coming on today. Congratulations on your selection as a finalist in Contractor of the Year, and I wish you the best in November when the finalists are announced. It's a fun event every year, and I hope to see you there. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.